Romans chapter 15 and verse 30. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Folks, you could spend the rest of your week meditating upon the truths of that verse right there as concerning prayer. That I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints. That I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time we can spend together. Thank you for the ministry that we have in New Zealand. Thank you for Brother Daniel Fraser and Vicky, his wife, and for the blessings that we've seen in their life. And we thank you, Lord, that much of what's been accomplished there is because of the prayers of people in this very room. And Lord, I pray you'd speak to our hearts tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it's amazing that one of the greatest Christians who ever lived, the Apostle Paul, is in this particular passage of Scripture, he is asking people to pray for him. And he's asking basically this question, who will pray for me? You know, when I look back over those slides, and, you know, I'll see those things 100 times over the next few months. And every time I look through there, you know, I'm amazed what God has done. Do you ever get tired, or do you ever get used to the fact that of what God's Word can actually accomplish? I mean, do you ever get used to it? If you do, there's something wrong in your life. You know, you need to get out there and see and present and take God at His Word, because the Bible is quick. And it's powerful, and it's sharp, and it is a scalpel that discerns and splits. And you know, folks, you know, for all the good this Bible does most of the world, though, in, you know, Jesus Christ may have well never come to this earth. God may as well never send His Spirit. God may as well never gave us the Bible, because unless somebody hears the Word of God, they're not going to be saved. You know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And I know there are a lot of theology teachers out there today that tell you that God's too good to send people to hell. But, you know, all you have to do is read the Bible in a casual reading. And the Bible says, unless they hear, they cannot believe. And unless someone goes, they're not going to be saved. And unless we give the gospel out to our neighbors and friends and people all around us, folks, that's why God put us here. I wish He'd have brought us to heaven the moment He saved us. It would have been a lot easier. But you know, prayer is one of the most important things in all the world. When I look back over these slides and I see all the things that God has done as people prayed. I remember when we started the church with Mrs. Fraser. You've heard her name over the years. And I tell you, I appreciate her. She's been a real blessing to me personally. You know, we'll be going back and starting our 6th church when we go back to New Zealand. But it's always amazing how God will put at least one family in a new church every single time to encourage us. We need encouragement. You know, we need to have someone there that's saying, Pastor, I don't understand what's going on here, but I thank God that someone here is preaching the Bible. It's amazing what, you know, that little lady, she was in every church in New Zealand. She went to the Catholic church, and when she was a Catholic, she was a good Catholic. She went to the Anglican church. When she was an Anglican, she was a good Anglican. When she went to the Charismatic church, and when she was a Charismatic, she was a good Charismatic. She went to the Baptist Union churches, which are basically charismatic now, but, you know, every one of the churches over there threw her out because she'd always say at the end of the sermon, well, is that really what the Bible says, Pastor? And boy, that's a dangerous thing to say in most churches. I know it sounds so ridiculous, but it really isn't a good thing to say if you go to church, because most churches today don't care what the Bible says. They really don't. You know, I say that to our church people a lot of times, and they go, yeah, right. You know, they just don't believe it. It's true. The Bible today is just pushed aside, and experience and feelings and all kinds of things have taken the place. And I remember when someone invited her to our church, and by the way, the first 2 years of this church, we had worked fervently, and we had about 10 families, and we were up to about 50 or so, and then in 1 week we went to 2. From 50 to 2. And that's an experience. Yeah, I mean, 2 years of work. And, you know, when that happened, I'll tell you what, if anybody who's ever been a church planner, anybody who's ever dealt with people, you know, if you love people, then that's going to be a concern to your heart. But you know something? I could have kept them. I could have had them stay there if I just said, well, let's just push the Bible aside a little bit. Let's just let the, you know, let's just go for it. But you know what, folks? If we're going to do what's right, we're just going to have to do what's right. And I don't really have never worried about anything except what the Word of God has to say, doing right. And, you know, by the grace of God, until the Lord comes, I want to start churches that are going to mean something in the future. I want to train young men. I want to train some young people. By the way, we have a young lady here in the States now. She's working up in Camp Chautauqua in northern Wisconsin for the summer from our church in New Zealand. Her name is Abby Broxholm. I'm sure she was in the picture several times there. She'll be back, and I hope I can bring her by here and have you meet her before she goes back on September 6th or 7th. She's going back, so she'll be here for a few weeks. I'd like to have her come and hear her testimony. Daniel, the pastor now, is her brother-in-law. Vicky, his wife, is her sister. And, you know, I look at the power of prayer. I'm just amazed what God has done. Well, I look at the Fraser family alone and see that when that lady came and how she started getting into the Word of God and how she started praying for her family. By the way, she has four saved children. She has three unsaved children. And those four saved children cost her, I'll say, at least $25,000. You say, what are you talking about? Well, I'll tell you what I'm talking about. Every time one of those unsaved kids said, Mom, can I have some money? Mom said, sure, here's $20. Go listen to this tape. That's the money, Mom. And there are those three. And so, as the Word, by the way, the Word of God will break stubborn, unsaved wills and hearts, but they still have to hear. I think, you know, it's amazing what God did in her life as she prayed for those kids and as she was able to, you know, give. Here, you want every one of those kids, even the unsaved one can give you the Romans Road better than most people in the church. They know the Word of God because they've had to memorize Scripture, they've had to read the Word of God, they've had to listen to tapes, they've had to read books. And Daniel, the pastor of the church, now got saved. The first time we had a Bible study, I remember we were meeting in her home, and he peeked his head around the corner and saw I was there and hit the road as fast as he could move. And but I'll tell you what, the prayer of his mother and the faithfulness of that woman made, you know what, God did a work in his heart. And, you know, all that we see and much of what we do and accomplish for the glory of God will be because people like you will pray. And I believe God answers prayer. I believe that prayer is important. And I, you know why it's so important? Because it's so hard. It's so difficult in your life to pray on a regular, consistent basis. I want to look here just for a few minutes into this passage of Scripture. And I want us to look and remember that Paul, throughout the Bible, is consistently telling people to pray for him. 1 Thessalonians 5:25, brethren, pray for us. 2 Thessalonians 3:1, finally, brethren, pray for us. Hebrews 13:8, pray for us. And so we get to this passage of Scripture. There are three things about prayer I want to just mention very quickly tonight. Number one, if we're going to pray, we're going to have to be diligent in our prayer life. Verse 30. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God. That word beseech means to join together in praying for the work of the Lord. You know, it's the same word in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, when Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body to God. And so in Romans chapter 12, Paul is begging, beseeching the people. By the way, isn't that a shame? Isn't that a shame? That Paul has to beg Christians to give their body to the Lord. And then we see in Romans 15, he's begging God's people once again to join together with him in prayer. Isn't that a shame? Isn't that a shame that God has to beg and plead not only with his preachers to pray, but with the people in the church? By the way, your pastor will do no greater things than the prayer support he has in this church and able to do it. By the way, it's not his job to build this ministry. It's his job to build you so you can build the ministry. Read the book of Ephesians. God has given some pastors to the church for the edifying of the saints, for the work of the ministry, folks. And every single one of you tonight need to be involved in the ministry of this church. By the way, there is no other ministry than the church in the Word of God. That is God's program, and that's his only program. And so we see that if we're going to have a ministry that's going to have any success whatsoever, we're going to have to be diligent in our prayer life. He says, I beseech you. It's a word means to call to one side or to draft into service. And I was 18 years old. I had two choices. Well, I had three choices, actually. I could go into the Army. I could be drafted into the Army. They had to draft back in those days in the middle 60s. I could go to the Navy, I could volunteer for the Navy, or I could go to jail. So I had three choices. You know, and by the way, I wasn't the only one those days. That was the choices I took. That was a pretty no-brainer. So I said, you know what, I don't want to be drafted, so I think I'll go into the Navy. I definitely didn't want to go to jail, so I think I'll go into the Navy. And you know, but it means to draft into service. Paul was asking some people here, he was drafting them into his service. He's saying, look, why don't you come alongside of me? I want you to be a part of this ministry, and the way you can be a part of this ministry is to learn how to pray. Paul was given an SOS. He said, I need your help. I want you to come alongside of me. I want you to be a part of this ministry, folks. You want to be a part of the ministry in New Zealand and the ministry of your missionaries, and you have a lot of missionaries that you support in this church. And I don't know if you can have a successful, faithful prayer ministry for every single one of them, but you ought to give it a good shot. You ought to be praying for something. You ought to get these needs and these prayer letters when they come out and pick out maybe five a month or five a week and look for God to do something in your life and be diligent in your prayer life. Now, notice Paul's motive for prayer in verse 30. Now, I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Paul isn't selfishly asking for prayer for himself. He wants them to know that he's asking them because he wants the Lord Jesus Christ to receive all the glory. You know, I've had people come to me and say, Pastor, pray for this need that I have. And, you know, I have a real concern about praying for some needs that people ask me to pray for. And that we don't know what God's will is for certain individuals and certain prayer needs, if the Lord will. You know, I had a man come to me a while back and he said, Pastor, would you pray that God would show me whether he wanted me to tithe or not? And and I said, no, I probably wouldn't do that. And he was concerned that I wasn't concerned about him. And I said, you don't have to pray about that. Just do it. You know, God already showed you what to do. So Paul is making sure here that the request, that people know the request isn't for himself, but the glory of God. Whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. You know, we have a philosophy in ministry today that says the end justifies the means. There are all kinds of motives, all kinds of ministries today. Folks, I'll tell you right now, the end does not justify the means. And God wants His children to be holy, and God doesn't want us to look and act and smell and dress like the world. God wants us to be separate, to come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And God wants us different, and God would let the whole world die to go to hell before He'd violate 1 ounce of His holiness to save a lost sinner. We need to preach and do things God's way. That's why we have a Bible. That's why we have the direction manual right here. And you do it God's way, and God will never, ever, ever let us lack the supply and power if we do His work His way. And I'm thankful that Jesus said, I'll build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it, folks. We're in a battle today. And our motive is not to bring glory to self, not to bring glory to a ministry, but to bring glory to God. If it can't be done for the glory of God, there'll be no reward. We stand before the Lord at His judgment seat. And so, you know, there are times we just need to be praying, God, if it's Thy will. Now, notice Paul also says, for Jesus' sake and for the love of the Spirit. What is our motive in praying? First of all, that God would get the glory. Let me ask you something. Why do we pray for other Christians? This verse tells us right here, because we love them. You say, well, I know there's people in this church I don't love very much. Well, then you ought to start loving them. There ought never be schism or division or heart of, you know, it's amazing that things that I hear when I travel over the years, and we've been in 600 or 700 churches in the last 25, 30 years. And, you know, when you hear things like, well, I know what the Bible says, but in this case, you know, I was at a church one time where the people on this road, side of the church, never talked to the people on this side of the church. And I was at a missionary conference once in Michigan. I won't tell you the church. Maybe you know. I don't know. But I was there, and I was there for a four-day mission conference. After one day, I said, Pastor, I'm leaving. I'll see you. I'm just gone. He goes, what's up? I said, I'll just go. I just couldn't take it. It was just so awful. And you know, when I come to a church like this, it's so refreshing. It's so refreshing to see that, you know what, you haven't given up. You haven't sort of went into the world, the ideas, and you haven't given in to the fact that we got to be like the world to reach the world. You know what? God still wants us holy. God still wants it for His glory. And folks, we have got to learn to love people. And if we're going to pray for one another, and if we love one another, why wouldn't we pray for one another? You know, I pray for this church often. I pray for all of our supporting churches and many other churches often. And when I hear a need from this church, I pray probably for this church more often than not because my mother's here and I know that she needs help. And I thank God for the help that you've given her over the years. But you know what? We need to love one another. And if we do love one another, we will pray for one another. And the more we help one another and the more we see needs, and so the more you love mission fields, the more you love people. And that's why it's good to have missionaries in. I know you have your share of missionaries in here. I know you have a lot of missionaries come through here. But you know what, folks? Just never grow tired of the love that we have one for another. That's why we pray, not only because God's glory is at stake, but because we love one another. And for the love of the Spirit, that when we're saved, we have this love put in our heart, shed abroad in our hearts, Romans 5 and verse 5. That's one of the reasons we pray one for another. The motive of prayer. Notice the ministry of prayer. You know, Paul calls upon these Christians to strive together with him in prayer. That word strive has the idea of entering into a fight with someone. You know, Luke 22, verse 44 says, "And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat were, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground." It's a picture of a wrestling match going on. Wrestling with our enemy, the devil, folks. All who live godly in Christ Jesus, what? Shall suffer persecution. And you know what? Once we get out on that battleground, you know when you go out this door tonight, you get out into the world, remember this, that's not your home. That's not even your territory. That's the devil's territory. And he doesn't like you going out there and start smiling and shining his lights in a dark place. And he gets kind of annoyed when you're out there trying to rescue people from the burning. And remember that when you go out there and do it, there's going to be a battle, there's going to be a fight, and it's never going to be easy, but it's always going to be a blessing. And if you serve God and you do what's right, you can lay your head on the pillow at night and go to sleep no matter what happened through the day, as long as you know, Lord, I've done all that I could this day to be faithful to Thee. You know, the devil fears a Christian who's praying, James 5:16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And so we have opportunity to enter into spiritual warfare. Folks, you have opportunity to enter into a ministry with other people by prayer. You need to be diligent as you pray and diligent in your prayer life. Not only do we need to be diligent, but secondly, we need to have a detailed prayer life. Verse 31, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints. Now, Paul was asking not just for generalized prayer. He wasn't saying, Lord, bless the missionaries. Lord, bless the preacher. Lord, bless the individual. You know what? He was asking for detailed prayer. Let me ask you something. Why was he asking for detailed prayer? And by the way, if you're going to pray, why do we need to have detailed prayers? Who could tell me? Why do we need to have detailed prayer lives? It's very obvious. Why? So we know when God answers our prayers. If you're saying, Lord, bless the missionary, how in the world do you know if God ever does bless the missionary? You know, you need to be praying. You know, I have a prayer journal at home, and I have about 7 or 8, 10 different compartments in that prayer journal. I pray every day of the week for certain things. I pray for unsaved people. I pray for supporting churches. I pray for family. I pray for special needs. I pray for physical needs. And you know what? When God answers prayer, I can write alongside of that, January 21st, 1965, God answered that prayer. I know when God answers prayer. Do you know when God answers your prayer? Because you're praying specifically for the needs that come up in your life. Paul prayed that his walk might be protected here in verse 31. That I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea. Folks, there are a lot of people who just don't believe and don't want to believe and don't want you to believe and don't want you to do anything. And they're just miserable and they want you to be miserable. And they're convicted by your godly lifestyle. We shine in the dark, folks. We are lights and we shine. And they will not come to the light because their deeds would be reproved by the light. So they stay away from the light. I had a man who used to be my neighbor some years ago. And I would witness to him every chance I get. And I never said anything about his long hair or his cigarette smoking or his beer drinking, although that's not, we know that's not right. But I'll tell you what, you can stop smoking, stop drinking, get a haircut, and still go to hell. That's what I looked like when I got saved, by the way. And not one person ever told me to get a haircut, stop drinking, stop smoking. Never, nobody ever did, but the Spirit of God did. Someone just told me, get your heart right, get your heart right, get saved, when those things took place. And but you know what? Every day he'd walk by the can of beer, he'd put it behind his back and go like this by my window. You know, he was just convicted because he didn't want me to see he was drinking. Isn't that funny how people just, you know, it's amazing. It's amazing how a godly Christian can change the temperature and atmosphere of an apartment building, a city block. You know, somewhere where you are known. By the way, people know when you go to church 17 times a week. They know. They see you drive out there. You know, you're nuts. And they know it. We live in a neighborhood where I live now up in Wisconsin. And you know, 20 years ago when they were putting the church in, these people, every one of the people I'm living around now are the people that went to the city and picketed for having the church burnt to the ground. I mean, these were ungodly, hateful people. These are my neighbors now. So I'm having to deal with that. I mean, you know, every now and then, you know what a real step forward is? If I could get them away from me from two blocks away. That's a real step forward in witness. But I'll tell you, folks, we need to be protected as we go out there. God knows that. Because the devil, as a roaring lion, walked about seeking whom he may devour. These young Christians, you know, it's fun to be around new Christians. And every one of these Christians, just about 95% of those people in these slides were all saved by the glory of God over the last few years. I'm the only pastor they ever knew. And when I left, that's pretty hard on them. Not that I'm that great, but you know what? To them I was. I mean, it's amazing. And I'm amazed how God brought Daniel along and how God gave him a wife and how he wanted to get an American wife. And I said, you know, but do you remember, was he here? I think he might have been here a few years ago. He was here in the States with me. I don't know if he was here in this church or not, but it's amazing how God brings people along and protects them. If you just pray that God would protect that new, he's a 26-year-old young man who loves the Lord, one of the finest preachers, I think, in New Zealand, really, for a national preacher, and he'll do a great job there. But he needs to pray it. You need to pray for his protection, because the devil will be out even more aggressively after him than ever before. Pray that God's people would be protected. And you know, then Paul said, pray that the work might prosper. In verse 25 through 27, we see Paul praying for the Jerusalem church to have the offering brought to it. For now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints, for that please them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It has pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister them in carnal things. You know, Paul prays that if he's going to come to Rome, that the work there might prosper. And that now the reason why he was praying for the offering here, that it might be protected, is because there wasn't a problem with the offering, but there was a problem with the Jews who still hated Paul. And there was a problem with the new Christians who weren't really sure about where Paul was. They were still a little leery of Paul. And so, you know, and so these people, he wanted them to pray that God would soften the hearts of these unbelievers and would bring him into these churches and protect him as he brought this offering unto Jerusalem. And, you know, we need to pray all the time. When the preacher is preaching, you need to pray. When the singers are singing, you need to pray. When the teachers are teaching, you need to pray. When people are out witnessing, you need to pray. By the way, we have services over in New Zealand on Saturday afternoon, your time here. So about 4 o'clock Saturday afternoon, they'll be having their 10 o'clock Sunday morning service in New Zealand. So Saturday afternoon, about 3 or 4 o'clock, you might just remember that Sunday morning service in New Zealand as you consider something on the Saturday afternoon. But we need to pray that God's work might go forward. It might prosper. And then he says in verse 32 that God's will might prevail, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God and may with you be refreshed. You know, I've had a lot of plans over the years and wanted to do this and that. And sometimes the Lord's let me do it, and sometimes it wasn't the Lord's will. And, you know, I'm not real good about when the Lord answers prayer. By the way, he always says yes. I like that. He'll say, no, I'm not real big on that. And, you know, sometimes he'll say, wait. And that's really kind of aggravating. I'm not a real big waiter. But, you know, God is, we need to be concerned about His will. He wanted to come, but He knew that it would have to be the Lord's will before He would come. And, you know, I don't know what you have for your life. Are you doing your will? Are you doing the Lord's will? I mean, whose will are you doing? Would you come this morning or this evening and say, you know, Lord, if you wanted me to be a missionary in a foreign field, that'd be great. By the way, you honestly can't pray, and we're talking about prayer tonight. You honestly can't pray for missions unless you're willing to put yourself and your children on the line and say, Lord, if that's what you want for my life, fine. By the way, I can tell you right now, God doesn't want all of you on the foreign mission field. Any amens to that? I mean, God doesn't want you all on the foreign mission field, but folks, when you say, I went to college for 4 years, I graduated, and I said after I graduated, I'm not going to the mission field. When I went to college, I said, I'm not going to the mission field. When I graduated from college, I said, I'm not going to the mission field. I stayed for a year of graduate work. I said, most of that year, I'm not going to the mission field. And, you know, I'm thankful God just didn't give up on me, that He kept going and going and going until I would say, Lord, whatever it is for my life, if it's your will, you know, God always gives the best to those who leave the choice with Him. I think it was Hudson Taylor who said that. Leave it with the Lord. God's best is much better than your best could ever be. And so we need to pray, and God's will might prevail. Then lastly, as I close, Paul calls here, not only do we need to be diligent in our prayer, and folks, I believe that, you know, countries like New Zealand, you know, New Zealand is the most unchurched country in the world. There are more atheists and agnostics and anti-God and God-haters in New Zealand than any place I've ever seen. We knocked on 14,000 doors last year and a half. And you know how many people in our church, because of that 14,000 door knocks? None. One elderly lady comes from that, you know, that specific time. None. You say, well, Brother Ridley, you know how to lead people to Christ. Oh, we saw some people saved. But I'm just saying that you could do a lot. By the way, I'm going to keep doing it the rest of my life. I'm not interested in necessarily the results of doing right. What I'm saying is, you know, would that discourage you if you talked to that many people and that many people slammed the door, kicked you out, told you to drop dead? I mean, would you quit? Would you give up? Or would you just keep going and say, Lord, this isn't my work. This isn't my church. It's your church. You know, and when, every time I do that, I say, well, I think I'll go to the Philippines, Lord. But you know what? Somebody's got to be in those countries where it takes just a little bit longer. And I'm thankful that I'm there. Not every time I go to a mission conference, I want to change fields about three times. But I'm, you know, honestly, and I think my wife would agree with me that we're content in the will of God. And so we want to make sure that you are as well. And then, so we need to be diligent. We need to be detailed. And then lastly, we need to have a delight in prayer. Verse 33, now the peace of God be with you all. Amen. It's God's peace in your heart today. If you're not saved, you have no peace. And if you're a Christian who's not right with God, I'll tell you what, you're the most miserable creature in the universe. Because the unsaved person has one nature, no struggles when he's doing wrong. The saved person who's not right with God has that old nature and the new nature struggling one with another. And you know what? God is never going to make you happy. And God's never going to let you get away with your sin as a Christian. By the way, the Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. Is there a delight in your heart because of what God's doing in your heart? You know, I love to see God bless other people. Don't you? Aren't you glad when someone goes out tonight and brother said there's people saved, that 80-year-old lady, by the way, you say 80-year-old people can't get saved any more than 3-year-old people can get saved. Well, my dad was 80 years old when he got saved. He died when he was 81. I thank God for that. And you guess where he was baptized? Right here in this church. And I'm thankful for that. And I love to hear that. But you know what? I don't want to hear that from other people all the time. I want to hear God use my life. I want God to use me. I want God to use my life and go out there and see that 80-year-old person get saved. Don't you? Don't you? If not, why in the world not? Be thankful for what God does to other people. But folks, don't be content unless God's doing something in your life. Be faithful in prayer. Be diligent and rest in the peace of God and rest in the presence of God. You know, folks, we ought to be more concerned with God's presence than the things that God gives us. You think about that. Are you more concerned about what God does for you and gives you than you are just for the very presence that God has allowed us to rest in and have the peace of God in our heart and life? I'm thankful for all that God's done in the land of New Zealand. The families that God put together. You know, the Broxholm family came to our church one time. They sat in the back row. There's something about coming into a Baptist church. It's like a magnet. You know, when you're unsaved, you sort of gravitate toward the back row. I made a statement in church the other night. If you're in the back row, you're backslidden, but I won't say it here. Because you know why? I was sitting in the back church last night at Bible school, and a guy that heard me say that before told me I was backslidden for sitting in the back church. But you know, when they came into church, there was this family, never been in a gospel preaching church in their life. Mom and Dad had been saved early in life. Four unsaved teenagers in that day of the church when they came in. Four unsaved teenagers. They sat down in the back of the row. I preached the Word of God that day. I gave an invitation, and that young lady that was one of the teenage girls raised her hand and said, "I need to be saved." And I said, "What's going on here?" She didn't understand a word I said. I did it all again. Because it's so unusual to have somebody raise their hand and walk an aisle in a church in New Zealand. But you know who that was? That girl that came forward that first day, that was Vicky Broxholm, who's now the pastor's wife. And she got saved that day, and over the next few months, the brother got saved, and the other two girls got saved, and Mom and Dad got right with God. Folks, if it was just that family alone that brought me to the last 10 years, that'd be worth it to me. It really would. To see what God can do as we go out. You really believe that God's concerned about one more soul? You believe a lifetime of labor is still worth it all if you rescue just one more soul? Well, you can only win them one at a time, I believe. We need to get out there and just in this community. You can do that. You can do that. And I'm thankful that you prayed for us and that people get saved and that God's glory is extended throughout this world, to this church, to the people of New Zealand, to the people of other mission fields of the world because you pray for them. And don't quit. And start being more diligent, more detailed, and see if you can't have a delight in prayer that God's never given you before because you've been faithful. And if you haven't been, start tonight. Promise God you're going to get up early, start praying, finding needs, what you can do for God's glory. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for this church. We thank you for Brother Angel. Thank you for these men here, these men that have given their life for the ministry. I thank you, Lord, for people here that have given their life to serve and support this church and to send the gospel throughout the world. Lord, help us to be diligent in our prayer life and help God to be glorified in all that we say and do. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother, I'll turn it back over to you.
All right, with every head bowed, every eye closed, the Lord spoke to your heart. We're going to stand, and as the music begins playing, just come down and use the Lord.